Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Art of Film Funding. I'm your co-host, Claire Papin, along with Carol Dean, author of the best-selling book, The Art of Film Funding. Carol is also the founder and president of From the Heart Productions and the host of this show. Our guest today is Bill Woolery. He's a video editor who specializes in trailers and promos for documentary projects and independent features. For 25 years, he worked for the major Hollywood studios, editing trailers for movies such as E.T., The Extraterrestrial, and The Usual Suspects. His trailer for Mishima received the Best Trailer Award at the Cannes Film Festival. 5 years ago, he stepped away from commercial entertainment and opened his own trailer production service to help documentary filmmakers make more effective trailers. You can learn more about his business and view a sampling of his trailers at his website, BillWoolery.com. Carol, Bill has been a donor to the Roy Dean Film Grant for almost 10 years, right?
Yes, he's not only talented, but he's very generous, Claire.
Good. Well, I'm not surprised. Bill, welcome to our show.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thanks for asking me.
Yeah, it's good to have you. Now, I know that in the chapter you wrote for The Art of Film Funding, the book, you say that you think the trailer is the key element to get your project past the planning stage and into a form that will attract attention. Can you elaborate on that for me?
Well, yes. You know, when I got into trailer editing for documentaries and fundraising trailers, the trailer was becoming more and more important, and now I can say it is probably the most critical element you have. You know, you've got to have a good website, and you've got to have a great trailer. And it's almost as if people in this media-saturated society we live in have to see something before it's real. And they have to see it on their computer screen. And having a trailer on your website is critical for that. And where in the past, it was many times you would pitch your project to, you know, the distributor, the funder, the donor, or whatever, and then, you know, as a secondary thing, show the trailer. And now it's almost what I'm hearing is that, you know, people want to see the trailer first. You know, they go to your website to look at your project, but they click on the trailer first. Everybody, you know, wants to see something, and then they'll make their decisions about it, and then they'll, you know, read the fine print and decide if they want to discuss it or get involved. So yes, it's something you really can't do without. And if you've got a lackluster, mediocre trailer, well, you know, it's not going to be effective like a strong one does. So it's good to make sure you got a good trailer out there.
It's the key fundraising tool. Now, Bill, what is a teaser trailer?
Well, many times at the beginning of your project, you know, you don't have a lot. You know, it's the catch-22. You need a trailer to attract funding so you can shoot the material for the trailer. So you're kind of stuck. So a teaser trailer is the way you kind of leverage what you've got. You know, whatever you've got, even if you haven't shot anything, you can take stills off of the net, from Google Images, and, create that with a voiceover and music and give, you know, a taste of, you know, because the music and will set the mood, and then your voiceover can explain, what you need to explain. So that could be a teaser, or if you have, you know, a few scenes shot, you can intersperse them with title cards to, you know, fill in the blanks. So there's many ways to create a teaser trailer without, having a lot of material available. And, of course, that's just, you know, the first step, hopefully a short one, that you'll move on, you know, to once you can shoot some material, you'll have a trailer that can, you know, do a lot more things.
Great. Well, now that works for many different types of films, but can you make a teaser trailer if you have a biographical documentary as well?
Well, yeah, if it's, you know, the thing I would do is it can be, you know, more on the poignant side. Usually biography documentaries are, and in that case, I would use a voiceover. If you're going to do, you know, an impersonation voice of your subject or the voice of that person himself or herself, then I've just used that instead of title cards to sort of kind of give it a warm feeling. But no, you can do a teaser with any material.
Well, once this works, and then, you know, you bring some cash into the picture, what mm-hmm. do you suggest filmmakers do next after that?
Well, the obvious question is what to shoot first. And, of course, that's often determined by, you know, what the availability of people and locations. But beyond that, you know, your first thoughts should be for the fundraising trailer because that's, as I said before, you know, maybe the first, you know, critical thing you have to show people. So you may want to shoot those scenes first. And in trying to envision that trailer, I would say the best thing is to watch a lot of other fundraising trailers on the net. And the site probably that has the highest concentration of them is the IDA site, the International Documentary Association. And they allow you to look at lots of trailers, and they keep changing them every month. So best thing is kind of immerse yourself and look at trailers, and you'll see good trailers and bad trailers, and kind of just get a feel for, you know, what might, you know, what sort of approach might work with your material, and then, you know, which will get you thinking about what elements of your story might be shot first. That would be the best thing to, you know, put into that trailer.
Right. Okay. Well, what other types of trailers do you create?
Well, you know, trailers are an art form. So, you know, having categories and classifications isn't really, you know, it changes from person to person. In fact, I've had some discussions and arguments about, you know, the different categories. But we just talked about a teaser trailer. And there's also a theatrical-style trailer, which is basically the one that you're going to use everywhere. It's sort of your calling card for the project, the one that you're going to post on your website, the one that you send out, you know, to generate interest, the one that you can, you know, people will pass around or put on YouTube, you know, with the hope that it will go viral. So, and theatrical-style is just like it states. It's like commercial entertainment trailers where it's short and sweet, like a minute and a half, 3 minutes would be kind of the maximum for that. And it usually has kind of, you know, a strong build, and things are presented very dramatically and pointed, you know, pitched to you in a very provocative way. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of the trailer, the all-purpose trailer is the theatrical. Then there's a showcase trailer, which can be much longer because that is when you're trying to sell your piece to a distributor or, say, ITVS or American Public Television, who's the one that kind of brokers documentaries being shown on local PBS stations. So this is the only case where you have a trailer that you would show the ending of your story because, you know, as you know, effective trailers never reveal the ending because you have to go see the movie to see the ending. But in the showcase trailer where somebody is literally buying your product, they want to make sure you have a good ending. So it would be included. So anyway, showcase trailers would last much longer. You know, they can go, well, they could go 10 minutes, but, you know, 6 minutes might be a high end on that too. And also, you know, it depends on what purpose it has to achieve. Like if you're going for a grant foundation or something, you might want to check the mission statement of these foundations, you know, if it's humanitarian or environmental or if it's helping children or whatever. And you would kind of tweak your trailer or your selection of scenes to kind of, you know, fit into their what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So those are two other kinds of trailer classifications.
Okay, and you do a work in progress too, right?
Well, yeah, a work in progress is mainly assembly of clips, you know, from your feature, no matter what stage, if it's rough cut or, you know, final cut or whatever. But usually clips that can be, you know, you trailerize it a little bit, you know, it has kind of an overall feel for a presentation. But that's kind of straining the boundaries of trailer is a work in progress. But, it, you know, here again, not only do they want to see that you have, a, you know, a competent production, that it's being produced in competent hands, but you also want to have that kind of, you know, that trailer feeling that you're being presented something that's intriguing and entertaining. So those
right.
can, you know, I don't, it depends on your, if you got great material, it can run a long time. You know, it could run 12 minutes or so.
And some grantors want to see that much material, so that's good. But,
yeah.
You know, Bill, I often find that filmmakers don't realize the importance of hiring a trailer editor to make their trailer. They many times say that they tell me, oh, my film editor and I are going to make a trailer. And I get so worried. I say, oh, really? Has he ever done a trailer? Oh, no, but he's a great editor. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But then I get into the discussion of a trailer is a special animal, and there are so many important elements to it that I think you should consider a trailer specialist. And usually when they do their research, they will agree with me. But explain to us some of the intricacies that you that a specialist would understand about trailers.
Well, you know, this is a situation that has changed, you know, in the last few years, whereas it was usually common, you know, certainly the editor for your project would do whatever trailers are necessary just because of, you know, budget concerns and you're sitting there with all the material and your equipment, you know, ready to go. But as trailers became more and more the critical element in getting things sold and seen and produced, you know, the idea of getting a specialist becomes much more appealing, and the idea of devoting, you know, part of your budget to that is always a good idea. So as for the difference between narrative editing and trailer editing, I see it's not only just two different styles of editing. I call it two different realities, because you're basically, you know, taking the same material, the same characters, the same truths, the same themes, the same drama that's in your piece, but you're using a totally different language to express them. And I always point out that, you know, a trailer is a very, very busy world, and you're not only, you've got the story arc, you've got each of the characters' arcs, you've got the build, you know, a trailer has to have, you know, kind of a propulsion to it, an overall, you know, style. It has to have mood. All these things are all going on, you know, in every frame of a trailer. So, in fact, many times narrative editing, when I do it, is it's about we're working on this, and then we're working on this, and then we're working on this scene, and we're trying to make this work. Or a trailer, you're always in your mind conceiving the whole piece. You've got the whole emotional, you know, thing in your mind, and it's a much more intense experience, and it's quite different. It's qualitatively different than narrative editing. And oftentimes, well, I've had clients that call me in one particular instance, says, you know, I sat down to cut the trailer, and I cut for 3 days, and it's still not a trailer, and I don't know why. And it's because, you know, these, you know, it's a different way of looking at editing, and, you know, since I've been doing this for 25 years, it comes natural to me. So
does
that answer your question?
Yes, it does. And I will tell you that from judging grants, I read the outline, I get into the theme and the characters, but I'm always chomping at the bit to see the trailer, because that is the icing on the cake, is how can they make a trailer? Does it flow? Does it leave me wanting more? And you'd be shocked to learn how many people don't know that trailers have a three-act structure. So could you outline those acts for us, Bill?
Well, the three-act structure is the way I find it's nice the way to organize material. Some people would say three acts in a minute and a half. How can you do that? But like I said earlier, everything is compressed in the trailer. And all of these things are happening. So not only do we have everything I just mentioned, but now we've got the structure to deal with, you know, just as a trailer, as opposed to the story structure. But a quick explanation of, you know, Act One is, you know, introducing, the characters and what the story is about and the location it takes place and, you know, all of the facts. But at the same time, you establish the most important things. You establish the mood. You establish the reality and the world that you're going to, you know, be entering here. And that's all I can say about that. Act two, well, is the development stage. You know, what happens to these people, the events. You know, how they interact, and this is where the conflict shows up. And this is usually the longest act for me, usually in this act you start the build, which I talked about earlier, kind of the emotional and pacing build. And then Act 3 it depends on what the story is. Act 3 can be the end run, which is the intense editing emotional build that moves toward the climax if you're planning a cliffhanger ending. Sometimes after the development in Act 2, the end of Act 2 can be your climax, and then Act 3 would sort of be the denouement, the sort of summing up of the story or themes, or it can be, you know, a montage with voiceover that's kind of reinstating why this documentary is important and why it should be seen. So those are the three acts, and then I would add to that, if it's the right thing to do, an opening, intriguing, you know, thing to grab the viewer at the beginning. And then at the end, after the title, you know, it's very common, very popular to do sort of a capper scene, you know, come back for one little little significant bite that kind of sums everything up. So that's sort of the structure I work with. But as I mentioned earlier, trailers are such an organic, emotional thing that, you know, the structure is a good way to organize things, but, you know, let the emotions flow too.
Okay. Well, speaking of emotions, mm-hmm. I know that one of the other things that helps set that is the music. How important is that for trailers?
Well, I call music the lifeblood of a trailer. I mean, all theatrical trailers have wall-to-wall music, and documentary fundraising trailers do too, and that's mainly because the tension and flow in a trailer really, it can't be broken from beginning to end. You know, a trailer is you grab the viewer at the beginning, and then you take them on this journey, and always, you know, pulling them along by the hand all the way through it until you drop them at the end. So music is the momentum that you keep this going. The only exception to that would be, say, a trailer sometimes has a mysterious opening. So then you may want to do something, you know, kind of murky and without a beat. But then by the time you get to Act Two, you've got to be moving along in music-wise. In fact, I can say music is the most important factor for me when I really start cutting a trailer. I mean, I don't even assemble footage without laying down a music bed first. Because when you're selecting, like, say, the dialogue bites for a trailer, you know, that's a logical, intellectual process. and it's very important, and it should be, you know, it should be a coherent, you know, structure that your sequence you're creating. But I do that, you know, with a music bed under it, because the music bed keeps me in the mood, and it helps me, you know, select, you know, the bites that I think will work best. So from beginning to end, I like, music is a critical part. You know, in narrative editing, it's sometimes it's even something you add, you know, later after your structure is complete. But in trailer cutting, the music cues have to be decided right up front. They can change eventually, but I like to, you know, all my cutting begins with the music underneath it.
Okay, well, talk about the opening scene, because I get to see about 500 trailers a year. What I love is when the first 10 seconds I am glued to the screen. And what does it take to achieve that?
Sometimes serendipity, because you never know what that scene's going to be. And I give, I agree with you. I mean, everyone agrees that, you know, the first 30 seconds are the most critical part, but certainly the first 10 seconds, and I would go even further and say the first frame is a critical moment in your trailer. And I often point out that it's people that are watching, particularly a fundraising trailer, they see it on the net. It, you know, it's surrounded by text and other things on your website, or if you're pitching it before screening it to a group, you know, they have some context. So, say, if your film is about the Brazilian rainforest, and the first, you know, the first scene that fades up is, you know, a beautiful aerial shot of the rainforest, it's what people expect. And, you know, it triggers in their mind a stereotype like, oh, another Brazilian rainforest documentary. But if you start with something they're totally unexpecting, like in this case, you know, like a close-up of an insect, or, you know, a bird with bright plumage or something, you know, or something that's unexpected and mysterious, you grab them because it throws them off guard. At least this is my theory. It throws them off guard, and from the rest of the trailer, they don't know what to expect. So now they're just along for the ride, and, you know, can be, it's much more fun that way. So, yes, in terms of how do you open it, to me, that's even, you know, the story can start, you know, a few seconds later, but that intriguing first open scene is very critical. And sometimes I don't know what it is when I begin the editing. So I just kind of, you know, pass it by and continue on working on other things. And many times when I'm working with the material, I'll get to that moment where a scene, I'm suddenly looking at it, you know, on my computer screen and go, oh, that's the opening. You know,
how nice.
It will jump out and say, hi, I'm your opening. So that's why I say it's serendipitous. You just, like all good editing, it's about trial and error, and you never know when, you know, it's kind of a mysterious process that you can't really, it's not a sequence of one thing after another. It's kind of there's a little magic to it that you have to be open and be ready when the great stuff comes along.
Yes. Well, I've seen you re-edit trailers that actually won grants, and when you get through, they're totally different, using sometimes a lot of the same material, but the magic is there. Now, on your website, it says that you offer a consultation when a filmmaker already has a trailer. So how does that work, Bill?
Consultations are something that's only come up for me in the last year. And what I found was actually they kind of grew out of the fact that many people wanted me to do a trailer for them, but, you know, their budgets didn't allow for me to, you know, take over all the material and, you know, start from scratch and, you know, build them and go through the whole process in a finished trailer. So when they have an existing trailer, they send it to me, and then I, you know, look it over carefully, examine it, you know, and write up detailed notes about how it might be better, and then email them these notes. Many times, in fact, very often, the music cues are what's wrong. And so I kind of download their sequence and then recut it with some music cues from my royalty-free music library, just to kind of show them how, you know, more appropriate music would work in certain places. So I have found this extremely helpful to my clients, and it's really cost-effective for them because they have some, you know, major, they've got a restructuring, they've got lots of ideas that will make their trailer much more effective, and it's something they can afford, and then, you know, they get my temp, you know, my re-edited template and follow my notes, and then, you know, recut it themselves with their editors, and everybody kind of wins in that situation.
Well, Bill and Carol, we have about 2.5 minutes left, so I want to give you an opportunity to wrap up with some of the most important pieces before we head on out.
Okay.
Well, I want to go to when filmmakers call you to discuss doing their editing, what are the most asked questions?
Well, not surprisingly, the questions are, what will it cost and how long will it take? I've had people call me and say, can you tell me how much you charge for a trailer? And, I have to stop them and say, well, before, you know, we have to answer some questions first, because, you know, fundraising projects or documentary projects in general can be, you know, they're all over the map. They can be big ones, small ones, complicated ones, simple ones, commercially viable ones. You never know. So I have to ask some questions like, well, are we talking about a one-minute teaser? Are we talking about a 10-minute trailer, work in progress? Is it going to be from a finished sequence? Or is it going to be, do I have to go through hours of your original material? There's a lot of things that have to be decided. And beyond that, I have to admit that some material I really like and want to work on. And that's kind of a secondary impetus for me to choose. But anyway, that's the question. You know, and eventually we do get around. We set up the budget and the time frame. So those questions get answered. Those are the two. Money
edit,
and time, as always.
You do edit full films, right, Bill, as well as trailers?
Yes, yeah. I've edited, several, not 2-hour feature films, but, you know, half-hour films, hour films. I did the one on a story that took place in Iran that was, 54 minutes. And I enjoy that. It's a nice change of pace for me to be able to use, you know, my left brain instead of my right brain. So, yes, I do long format and enjoy
it. Okay. And people find you at what? How do they find you?
Well, you can always go to my website, Bill Woolery, at BillWoolery.com. Should I spell that?
Yes.
Okay. BillWoolery. And on the website, you see some of my background, but most importantly, you can play a lot of my trailers. So of all sorts, you know, different categories that we talked about earlier. You can always find me there and contact me through that.
I'm going to take this opportunity to thank you for your kindness to filmmakers and your donation to the Roy Dean Film Grant.
Well, thank you so much. I've enjoyed this very much.
Yes, Bill, thank you very much. And also, Carol and I want to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in to The Art of Film Funding. You can find us at our website at fromtheheartproductions.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter, and you can join us again for future shows. We'll be back with lots more interesting conversations for you to hear. Good luck with your films, everyone.
Bill?
Yes.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.